ELC Radio.
Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limone.
We've been in a series that we're calling the double helix. And the double helix is kind of a science term. It's not kind of, it is, that describes what DNA is. And the definition of double helix is basically this. It's a pair of parallel helix intertwined with a common access. And these double-stranded molecules are made up of nucleic acids that make up our DNA. And so as we're talking about the double helix, we're talking about your double helix, my double helix, as believers of Jesus Christ. And the subtitle of what we're talking about are building blocks to your identity. Because most Christians really don't understand who they are. And because if you understand who you are, your life will begin to back up what you believe. We like to say it like this: right believing produces right living. Amen. I want you to write that down. Right believing produces right living. And so anybody here that is still dealing with addictions or still dealing with a sinful lifestyle, like you just can't leave the club. Friday night comes and you just pulled out, you know, you can't leave that thing. You can't leave that lifestyle, whatever it might be. It's usually because you don't believe the right things. Amen? If I could get single people to believe the right things, then they would pick a better spouse. Can I get an amen? Yeah, you didn't hear that. If I could get some single young girls, we can get some single women to believe the right things about themselves, they won't end up with guys that are going nowhere. Can I help the daughters of Jesus today? Amen? But if I could get some young men to realize who they are, they won't pick a wife that they regret picking in about 5 years. Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth. If I could get us to believe the right things, right living will begin to take place automatically. And so some of us, we got this thing twisted because we want to address behaviors before we address what we believe. And so what you end up with is behavior modification. So it usually works like this. You cuss, just not when your pastors are around. That's behavior modification. You act a fool, just not at church. And we're okay with that. Come on, somebody, is it getting real quiet in here? And see, what is that? See, it's because you're working on modifying your behavior instead of modifying what you believe. And if we can get in there and restructure the DNA of what you are, then you'll start living right. And some of you want to live right. I hope all of you want to live right. There might be a few dogs in the bunch, but hey, I'm believing that we all want to do right. Amen? Amen? Hey, listen, you're in church on a Sunday. That's a start. That says something about you. Come on, pat yourself on the back. Give you a little pat on the back. You here, ain't you? Yes. So you could be sleeping. You could be hugging that pillow. Football's over, but you know, you could be watching those another Sunday. But you're here. And so that says something that you want to do the right thing. Well, understand this. We've got to first rewire what it is that you believe about yourself. Rewire what you believe about God, because that's what's going to produce right living. And so the last few weeks, we started with the hashtag, we are family. Because although that sounds like a basic truth of the Christian faith, that we're a family of God, we're the family of God, some of us really don't believe that. And the reason we don't believe that is because of our own experiences. Or maybe we do believe it, but we've never been a part of a family. And can I just tell you, if you've never been a part of a family, you could have a skewed view of what a family looks like. That's a problem in today's day and age. We've got people that were raised in broken families. Now they get married and have kids and they have a family, but they've never had a model of what a non-dysfunctional family looks like. And so then it creates problems. But if you know God, and if you come to church, the community of God, the family of God, God could rewire and teach you what His Word has to say about family so that you can then enjoy the benefits of family. Can I get a good strong amen on that? Amen. So we started with last week understanding, or 2 weeks ago, understanding that we are family, but that in a family, God is our Father. He's our Father. And we talked about why this is a stumbling block for many of us, because many of us didn't have a father. Or we have a stumbling block because the father that we had was not a good model of a father. And so now we say, okay, God is our Father. That doesn't make some of us feel safe. That doesn't make some of us happy. That just kind of brings a question in play, because many of us in our communities, in the times we live, have not really seen true fathers. I like what T.D. Jakes says about this generation. He says this: in this generation, men are a mystery to many. They're a mystery. Some women have never seen a man, a true man. It's kind of like the fable of Bigfoot. We heard he's out there. We've seen traces of them, but we've never laid our eyes on a true man. It's true. I've had people in this church come and say, Pastor, you're the first man that I've ever respected, because all the men in my life left me, let me down, lied to me, whatever it was. Now, that's a heavy burden to bear, and I don't want it all myself. That's why we have something called Kingsmen. Because I can't bear that burden. So let me produce some other men in this house that can help shoulder that load. And we could all show our church, our community, the young men and women in it, what a man looks like. Can I get an amen? Amen. So I guess you could say we're raising up Bigfoot up here. Amen. We're raising up, you know, abominable snowmen, whatever. We're gonna show that this creation exists. So we've talked about that, and I want to encourage you to go back and listen to those messages. The big stumbling block in that whole thing is understanding without fathers, it creates a culture of orphans. And orphans have certain characteristics about them. Characteristics of an orphan, or mental strongholds of an orphan, are what we talked about last week. An orphan is consumed with their own provision and protection. That's what orphans, that's all they're consumed about. They got to take care of themselves. Why? Because there's not a father in the house that is providing. And so we can be like that spiritually. All we care about is me and mine. We talked about another mental stronghold of an orphan is an orphan doesn't understand discipline. He takes correction as rejection. If you're somebody that when you're corrected, you get overly hurt. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? Overly hurt. All the head usher had to do was just say, hey, could you not be on time? Could you not be late? And all you had to say was, sure, man, no problem. I'm sorry. Instead, you're all upset. All angry, all mad. Well, who's he think he is? Da, da, da. Wait a minute, that's an overreaction to discipline. And so what that is evidence that you've got to grow in your mind because you think you're still an orphan. This is good teaching. Anybody getting something out of this? So go back and listen to that message there. Then we talked about number three, an orphan never feels like they fit in. They always think that others don't like them or that they don't belong. And so if you walk into a room and think people don't like you, that's a sign that you're dealing with an orphan's mentality. That is not normal. That is not how we get down. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, you've been accepted in the beloved. So that means this: no matter where you are, you could be at home. I travel the world. I've been to over 40 different nations. I've been to poor nations, rich nations. I've sat with millionaires. I've sat with people that live in huts. And I can tell you this from the bottom of my heart, wherever I am, I'm at home. I'm at home. Why? Because there's something on the inside of me that's been rewired, because it wasn't always like this for me. I grew up very insecure. I grew up always feeling like I didn't measure up. I had a brother who was an incredible athlete. I had another brother who got good grades, and I was the guy, the youngest one, didn't do either of those things. Didn't seem to fit. I would play sports, but I was never the best one on the team. I would get grades, but never the best grades. I never felt like I fit in until I rewired my mind to what God's word was telling me about. And if you struggle with those thoughts, you got to do the same. Number four, we talked about an orphan lives with the anticipation of lack. That is why they're not generous, because they never think they're going to have enough. Listen, when you're a son or daughter of God, you understand God is a good father. We sing the song, amen? Well, it's time you start believing it, because a good father is not going to let you go without. He is going to provide. And many times he'll do it through seasons of using places and things that you never thought he was going to use. And so an orphan will always struggle with those feelings of there's not going to be enough. Well, today I want to go further into this whole train of thought as we're rewiring our thinking, as we're building blocks for our identity. I want to describe to you now what it means to be a mature son. Amen. And I want to encourage you to take notes, use your phone, use your iPads, use a pen and a pad, because the sociologist will tell you that you retain more of what you write down than when you just sit there and take it in with your ears. And this is too important for you not to get this on the inside, because if you get this, if you get this truth, it can make sure you never go back to jail. If you get this truth, we can make sure that you don't end that marriage in a divorce. If you get this truth, we can make sure your kids are raised in a home where there's a mother and a father. If you get this truth, when God sends that person you're supposed to marry, you won't mess them up. Are you guys getting how important I'm saying this is? Okay, so let's get into this. We've talked about what an orphan is, somebody that's raised without the understanding of having a father or even sometimes a mother in their life. We're raised with these thoughts and these mentalities. Well, you know what? You're born again now. You have a dad. But here's the problem. We don't know how to relate to dad, because dad is going to correct. And we've got to learn that when dad corrects, it's not because he's abusing me. It's not because he doesn't love me. It's actually the opposite of that. It's because he loves me that he corrects me. So there's a rewiring that has to take place in you and I. We've got to learn the identity that not only am I saved through Jesus Christ, but I'm his son. And the goal of being a son or a daughter, for that matter, I'm not really dealing with gender here. So when I say son, understand I'm meaning daughter as well. When you're a son, we've got to learn how to be a good son. Amen? We hear so much about, well, I had a bad dad. And I've told you this before. Well, what kind of son are you? Well, my dad wasn't there. But yeah, but look at kind of son you are to your single mom. What kind of son are you? You want to complain about your dad, yet you put your single mom through hell and thought nothing of it. And you're over here mad because your dad left. We've got to deal with these mentalities. We've got to deal with these things. Now, it carries over into the spirit. So here's the identity I'm trying to get into you today, is that you are called to be a mature son. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:11. So Paul is writing here, and he's explaining something about love, but he says a statement that I just want to build on today. He says this: when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put away childish things. Then in the next chapter, in 1 Corinthians 14:20, you could put that up. He repeats this statement as he's talking about spiritual gifts in a whole other context. But I want you to catch what he's saying here. He says, brethren, do not be children in your understanding. However, in malice, or as it relates to being evil, be babies. In other words, be innocent. But then he says this, but in your understanding, be mature. Tell your neighbor right now, be mature. So I want to paint a picture for you. So before you got saved, the Bible says you were dead in sin. And then Jesus uses we hear the term in the Word of God, being born again. Amen? How many of you know that term, being born again? And what begins to happen is you ask Jesus into your life, you experience a new birth. When Jesus preached on this, the people in his time said, wait a minute, does that mean I got to crawl up back into my mother's womb? And Jesus said, you're nasty. Get out of here. I ain't talking about that. He said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. He said, I'm talking about a spiritual rebirth. And so what that denotes is that when you come to Jesus, catch this now, you're a spiritual baby. You're a spiritual baby. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you're born again. Yes, your sins have been washed away. But as it pertains to spiritual things, you're a baby. Now let's think about it, what it means to be a baby. Y'all ready for this? You're a baby. So babies, what are babies like? Babies, here, listen to this. Babies are dependent upon someone else. So are spiritual babies. And it's okay. This is why we need discipleship. Because you need somebody to come and show you how to pray. You need somebody to teach you how to read your word and get something out of it. You need someone to teach you, hey, this is what you do when you go through things. This is how we respond. This is how we react. Everybody needs it. If you've never been discipled, it could be you're still a baby. Well, Pastor, I just figured it out on my own. Kind of doesn't work that way. Same way a baby cannot raise itself. Now, we can do a level of discipling you and growing you on a Sunday service. But listen, if you're going to grow, you need somebody in your life helping you. Amen. You need somebody. Amen? Somebody that's going to teach you and help feed you, encourage you, and tell you, hey, don't put your finger in that socket. Come on, how many know babies need that? Right? Babies need some rules, right? Right? Is it because we don't love our babies? No, it's because we don't want them to electrify themselves and die. But it's interesting, when we got spiritual babies, some spiritual babies don't want nobody telling them anything. And so we avoid discipleship. But you know what? It's never wise. It's not a good thing. So when you're born again, you're a baby. And then it says that, you know, as you grow and as you're being discipled, you grow a little bit. Until what he talks about here is you come into maturity. I need you to catch this today, because this is your time to become mature. Amen? Because there's blessings in maturity. Now, I want to read to you here from Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 through 5 and verse 7 in the Passion Translation. So you can just follow up on the screen here. I'm telling you, if you catch this, it's going to unlock so many things in your present life, and you're going to see an activation of some of the blessings that you've been waiting for. It says this, in a similar way, God has promised our ancestors something better. But listen to this. But as long as an heir is a minor, he cannot really much be different than a servant. Although he's the master of all of them, for until the time appointed by the father when he comes of age, the child is under the domestic supervision of the guardians of the estate. Hold up, wait a minute, what is God talking about here? So, he's now dealing with you as a son. Read the New Testament as your father instructing you as a son. And what he's telling you is this, son, daughter, you got to grow up. You've got to mature. Because I have brought you into the family of God, and I have given you, get ready for this, I have given you an inheritance. An inheritance. Part of that inheritance is eternal life. Part of that inheritance is the ability to pray and God answer your prayers. Part of that inheritance is the blessing of God. But you got to catch this next part. But he says, God has promised, go back. But as long as an heir or a son is a minor, he's not really much different than a servant. I've been preaching 30 years, and I've seen some people in church for 20 of those years, and they still have not reached maturity. So even though they've been in church 20 years, God cannot release an inheritance to a minor. The same way the state of California is not going to do it either. Amen? Yeah. State of California tells you this. If your daddy dies and you're underage, you don't touch the inheritance till you're 18. You could have $1 million. $1 million. You can't touch it until you mature. I need somebody in this house to get this. Because you have things and blessings in the spirit that you've been crying about, praying for, saying, God, give it to me. When am I going to get my healing? When am I going to get this? Can I just tell you this morning, God is telling you why some of our prayers have not been answered. Some of our dreams have not come true. Our inheritance hasn't come yet because you are not mature. You are still a spiritual two-year-old. You're a spiritual two-year-old. You're like 8 months in the spirit. Never mind, you've been coming to church 8 years. You're still ga-ga-goo-goo. Feed me. Now think about what it means to be a baby, first of all. Let me tell you something. Babies are cute. You know why God has to make them cute? Because they're evil. Somebody's going, what kind of church is this? I know we got some newborns in the back. I see you back there. Hallelujah. But the parents will tell you as much as what I'm saying is true. What do you mean they're evil? Put it to you like this. The baby don't care that you got to work in the morning. That baby's hungry. He don't care it's 2 a.m. You want to know why? What's the attitude of a baby? It's all about me. We're in here getting blessed right now, but in the nursery right now, every kid in there is probably upset. And they're saying a lot of this, mine, mine, that's mine. And somebody grabs a toy, what's the problem? He's got what I want. Amen? That's why they need y'all. We need y'all in the nursery, y'all. We've got to get them kids saved. Them little hellions need Jesus. Are you guys tracking with what I'm trying to say to you? In an infant state, all you care about is you and your needs. And yet I've just described your spiritual life. That's all you care about. You won't serve. You won't give. You don't give. And your reason is, I got to take care of me and mine, Pastor. Because you have not yet learned, no, you have a father that says if you seek first the kingdom, he'll do all that. Your job is to seek the kingdom, which means how God does things. That's our job. His job is to worry about our well-being. Our job is to do what he asks us to do. Are you tracking with us?
Yes.
So I'm not just trying to make you feel bad at where you're at in your life. I'm trying to spur you towards growth. Because growth is where the magic happens.
Amen.
Maturity is where dreams come true. And I'm telling you, maturity, if we get you to mature, the inheritance kicks in. If I could just get you to 18, inheritance kicks in. You don't have to work another day in your life when that inheritance kicks in. But here's the problem. We won't grow up. We won't submit to the process of growing up. And so what happens? We stay the same age. Sure, you've been coming to church 5 years. Still a one-year-old. Still, sure, you were raised in church. You never left God. You were raised in this thing, but you're still a baby. I want you to take this scripture as a challenge and a promise. I want you to take this scripture here as a promise from God that the moment you grow up, is when the magic happens. The dreams come true is what I mean. And here's incredible promise. Growing up doesn't have to take years. You can grow up in a matter of weeks and months. That is why you watch some people pass you by. You've been in church 20 years, but you see the young people, what? How are they? What's going? Because you want to know why? Because they made a choice early on that I'm going to mature. You know what most people do with their spiritual life? They dodge opportunities to grow up. That's why we have this epidemic in America of people changing churches all the time. Can I just speak on that for a minute here? Can I help somebody today? Listen, if you're not called here, we don't want you to be here. Go where you're called to be. Okay, I'm not one of these controlling pastors that's going to make you be a part of our church. I'm kind of the pastor that's like, hey, you don't want to be here, then don't be. Because we want people that want to be a part of the family. So I'm not preaching this to you in a place of a hurt or because something happened. I'm telling you this because this is going to help you. Because this is the epidemic we have in America today. The moment we're going through something that is going to grow us up, that's usually when we get out of the boat. We get out of the boat. And we quit. We quit things. So college wasn't what you thought it was going to be. So we quit. You fell in love, and the marriage was a little bit harder than you were prepared for. So what do? We quit. Not everybody, but understand, stay with me now. You know, we get into a pattern of quitting things. Why? Because we never have learned that there is a process to maturity. And can I tell you what the process of maturity is? Pain. It's pain. Anybody here ever heard of growing pains? Anybody here got a kid 10, 9 years old? Anybody? Raise your hand if you do. Yeah, my kids, every time, it might have been 8 years old, 8, 9, 10, in that little bracket there, they come into the room, Mom, my leg hurts. Remember those? Oh, what's the matter, baby? I don't know. It's just my legs are hurting. And you pray over them and you go, this is growing pains. How many remember those days? Some of you might be having growing pains right now. You can't, everybody goes through them. And it's excruciating pain. It's just like, and you think, you know, nothing's wrong. You're just growing and it's hurting. Then you go through it emotionally as a teenager, right? And you're all over the place as a teenager. You want to know why? Because you're experiencing pain in your emotions. And you're all emo. You grow, you went through that little stage where you grew your hair all long over the one eye. Room was always dark, always in dark colors. Going through a little pain and anguish and depression. How many, don't raise your hand. Some of y'all went through that stage. Some of y'all still in that stage. But what is that? It's pain involved. It's pain involved. But understand this. As I was saying, there's an epidemic in America today where the moment things get uncomfortable, the moment things hurt a little bit, I'm out of that and I'm on to the next thing. But you got to understand, life happens in seasons. There's a summer, there is a winter, and it's cold, and it's fruitless, and it's lonely, and it's dark. But you got to get through that winter, because what's coming? What we're seeing right now, spring. Spring's coming. Come on, Stevie B, spring love, come on. Yeah, you feel me, all right. So, you know, spring is on the way, where harvest is coming. And bloom is coming, and fruit is coming, and good weather, and all that kind of stuff is coming. But you always seem to leave in the winter. So you went to a church for a while, and then something happened that you didn't like, because remember, it's all about you, and then you go to the next place. And then you're there for spring, and you're there for fall, and then here comes winter again, and then you leave there. Some of you do that with jobs. Some of you do that with boyfriends or girlfriends. And you do that. It's just kind of how you live life. But you know what you're doing? You're prolonging your growth. Remember, and as long as you stay immature, you don't get the inheritance. Some of you got prophecies from 10 years ago. I really want to bless you with this. I really want to send him to you. This you're going to love this husband I got for you. Oh, I'm speaking to somebody today. Oh, you're going to love him. I really want to say, I don't know how much longer he could wait. Hurry up and grow up. Because he's your inheritance. Quit dating these guys from the romper room. They're keeping you immature. They're licking your wounds, keeping you needy. Get away from them so you could grow up, so I could bring you your king. Same thing for the fellas. Stay out the nursery with some of these girls. Stay out the nursery with some of these girls, figuratively and spiritually. If all they want to do is play, they ain't for you. You won't grow. Amen? Oh, that's a whole nother message there. Let's keep going here. So the goal here is maturity. Are you guys getting this today? God is, the blessings are there, but you gotta become of age. So look what it says. Back to the scripture here. It says, although he's the master over all of it, they're still like servants. So he says, for until the time appointed by the father, he comes of age, the child is under domestic supervision of the guardians of the estate. So it is with us. When we were juveniles, we were enslaved under the hostile spirits of the world. That's where some of us in this room are. You're no longer babies, but you're teenagers in the spirit. And what does a teenager want more than anything? To fit in. Some of you have been Christians a long time, but you still act like the world. You're adolescent. Come on, grow up. When are we going to learn? Only person you got to please is God. When are we going to learn that? Instead, what we got is we got churches and Christians that want to act like the world so bad. They get their identity from that. You got to move past that. Amen? Most of us OGs got in trouble in our teenage years because we wanted to please the crowd. Can I get a good strong amen from some honest people? Amen. First time you drank beer, you hated it. But you looked around the room. She's drinking it. He's drinking it. Took another sip. That sip turned into a gulp. That gulp turned into a bottle. Now you got an addiction. Come on, somebody. First time you smoked a joint, you choked. You thought you was going to lose a lung, but you looked around the room, kept it going. Pretty soon, half your check was going to your weed supplier. Some of you, all of it. Amen. But what happens? What causes that? Why do those things hit adolescence? Because the need for an adolescence is to fit in. Some of us got to move past that. You're alone on a Friday night. Get over it. Tired of crying with single Christians. I'm alone. Yeah, you are. But you're paying a price and you're growing up. Because nobody wants to marry somebody that can't stay home on a Friday night. Am I lying? Nobody wants to marry a person that can't stay home on a Friday night. So guess what you're doing? You in training, sister. You in training. You learning how to be home and be good and be happy. Oh, this is helping somebody today. But what's happening is you're growing up. Same thing with the fellas. Quit crying about the season you're in. You don't fit in. Get over it. And let's move past that. Amen? Keep going. So that's that adolescent season. So it says, so it is with us. When we were juveniles, we were enslaved with the hostile spirits of the world. But then the era came to an end and the time of fulfillment had come. This is what I'm prophesying over you, that there's a time of fulfillment that's coming. God sent his son, the born of a woman, born under the written law. Yet all of this was so that he could redeem us, set us free from all those held hostage to the written law, so that we would receive the freedom and full legal adoption as his children. Now look at this. Now we're no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we're his, we can access everything our Father has, for we are heirs of God through Jesus the Messiah. The Bible cannot lie. It says you can access everything that God has. There's one thing you got to do. You got to mature. You got to grow up. Tell your neighbor, grow up. So how do we grow up? How do we grow up? I'm going to help you today. This is going to help you. It's going to tell you. It's going to change your life if you grasp this. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 4:11. You've been babies. You've been born again. Some of you have grown a little bit. You're adolescent, but now you're struggling with wanting to be like the world. Let's get you all the way there. Look at Ephesians chapter 4:11-14. It says this, and he, speaking of God, has appointed some with grace to be apostles and some with the grace to be prophets, and some with the grace to be evangelists, and some with the grace to be pastors, and some with the grace to be teachers. And their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. Keep going. It says, these grace ministries will function until we all attain oneness into the faith and until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. And finally, till we all become one into a perfect man with the full dimensions, here it is, of spiritual maturity and fully develop into the abundance of Christ. And then our immaturity will be over. And as we will not be easily shaken by trouble, nor led astray by novel teachings or by the false doctrines of deceivers who teach clever lies. You know what this is saying? If you're going to grow up, God has given fivefold ministers that preach the word on Sunday morning to help you grow up. Are you guys catching this today? So the job of a pastor, a prophet, an apostle, evangelist, teacher, you know, when we bring in our guest speakers and they come to you, what are we trying to do? We're trying to preach the word to you so that you can then apply the word that is preached and grow up. Amen. Now, I'll tell you this. There's no shortage of preaching. No shortage of preaching. There's also no shortage of churches. Churches are everywhere, right? But what we do have a shortage of is people that understand, number one, who they are, sons of God. And number two, understand what they need to do, grow up. Are you tracking with me today? If we can produce a church in this community of sons and daughters of God who have a desire to mature, we'll change South Sacramento and the world. So I want you to write this down. So what is the goal of a believer? I want you to write this down. The goal of a believer is not perfection, it's maturity. The goal of a believer is not perfection, it's maturity. The goal of a believer is not perfection, it's maturity. Now, why is this so important? I'll tell you why it's so important. Because you know what churchgoers do? Well, you know what humans try to do? Humans always try to be the best at something. Well, most of the time. Some of us have that Mamba mentality more than others. But here's what happens. That's a shout out to Kobe there. Amen. Rest in peace. Hope he's in heaven. Amen. We have a mentality of when we go to a work, we want to learn how to do work and be a good worker. We want to learn how to be in a marriage and then be good at that marriage. And here's what we do as well. We come to church, we want to learn how to be a good Christian. But let me tell you something. Being a good Christian is not the goal. It's because some of you have been good Christians. You're still immature. Still haven't grown up. Because what's a good Christian? Go to church. Give occasionally. Serve when you have to. Stop smoking. Stop drinking. What they used to say, don't drink, don't chew, don't go with girls that do or guys. That's what they used to say. And then you'd be a good Christian. Can I just tell you something? That's not the goal here. The goal is not to be good at anything. God makes you good. Jesus made you good. The goal is this, that you mature. That you mature. That you grow up. Amen? So here is where we get our greatest example, Jesus. Jesus was the perfect example of a mature son. That is who we emulate. That is who we're after. That is our template right there. Let's be more like Jesus. Jesus was the perfect example of a mature son. So much so that he said this, if you see me, you see the Father. If you see me, you see the Father. Remember, the job of a father is to communicate culture. The job of a son, a true son or daughter, is to reflect that culture onto others. Some of you on my leadership team or in my discipleship group, I spend a lot of time, myself and my wife and other leaders, pouring into you. But do you yet reflect the culture? Or are you still mature, immature? Are you still resisting being like the Father? Some of us do that. We resist it. So in the Greek, there's a word for it. There's a Greek, in the Greek, there's a word for the stages of sonship. The first stage is called, I'm gonna butcher this, I don't speak Greek, but you know, there's the word nepias, all right? Nepias, or another word for it is pedion. And what that basically talks about is the baby stage of sonship that we talked about. And then there's another word called technon, which talks about the adolescence or the beginning of the adulthood journey. I would say a lot of us are on that journey there. But the thing that we're after is the Greek word weos, which means a descendant, an exact representation of the Father. How do we get there? We already said through maturity. I want to give you a hashtag today, and I want everybody to go online and use this hashtag if you post something about the church, because these hashtags represent values in our DNA. The first one we said was we are family, but today's hashtag is this: it's not about me. It's not about me. Put that into your notes. It's not about me. Why is this a value? Because this is the mindset of a mature son. It's not about me. See, and if you've been raised as an orphan or in a broken home, you don't understand how a true family functions. In a true family, you learn real quick that it's not always going to be about you. We ain't always going to eat what you want to eat for dinner. Right? See, some of you don't know nothing about that because your mama gave you whatever you ate. I met a kid not too long ago. All he ate was chicken nuggets. I was talking to his mom. Oh, he won't eat nothing but chicken nuggets. You know what I thought in my head? He'd have died in my house. And then the second thought came to me, oh, he'll eat more than chicken nuggets. He'll eat more than chicken nuggets. Let him go a day or two. Let him go a day or two. And then cook whatever you're cooking. He'll eat it. Somebody say, I'm glad I wasn't raised in pastor's house. But see, the problem is, if you don't teach those lessons to a child, he grows up thinking it's all about him. Then you put him in a classroom. And the teacher's trying to teach. There's 30 kids in that classroom. But he still thinks it's about him. So the teacher says, pencils down, I don't want anybody talking. He looks around and goes, but I feel like talking. And so he talks. And the teacher says, hey, I need you to be quiet. I'm going to write your name down. He says, so, write my name down. She writes the name down. He cusses. I'm telling my own story here. That's what I'm happening here. And so what happens to these kids in classes? You want to know what happens? They've never learned it's not about them. They've never learned that sometimes you got to sit there and be quiet because what's being said might not be for you, but it's for somebody else in the room. Being part of a family taught me that. Taught me that sometimes we're going to go where my brother wants to go. Sometimes we're going to do what my dad wants to do. Sometimes we're going to eat what my mom wants to eat. And I got to be good with it. Amen? Amen? We're losing that in this generation, guys. Because all parents want to do is appease children. And if you appease children, you never teach them these values that they're going to need in life. Here's the other big thing. They never mature. So they'll go to a job, they'll get a job, they still have this me mentality. And when something happens on that job that doesn't please them, they lose their minds. What? How come we gotta do this? You gotta do this because this is a place of employment. And you are not the center of this place of employment. So get in line, fall in line, and live by this. It's not about you. Most of us have matured to that level of understanding it's not about you in natural life, right? You can't be married and have a good marriage if you come into that marriage thinking it's all about you. But let's be honest. Most of us enter a marriage thinking it's all about you. I remember when I was single and I had my list. Y'all had those lists? This is what I want in a wife. You know what my list represented? My wants, my needs. Guess what I was? Immature. But how many of you know marriage has a way of growing you up right away? Amen? Amen. Anybody ever experienced that? Yep. It's going to grow you up right away. And there was tons of times I could have left my wife. I'm so glad I didn't. Tons of times she could have left me too. But you know, when because we stayed together, you know what we did? We grew up. Amen. We grew up. And we started learning that in marriage, it's not about me. Then we had babies. Babies will teach you it ain't about you right away. Am I right? I want to sleep. Baby don't care. He's going to cry and keep crying until you feed him. He don't care it's 2 in the morning. He don't give a rip. You got a big interview tomorrow. That baby's going to make you get up. And then just look at you with those eyes when you do. And then you're like, okay, he's fed. Let me put him down. Then you're like, dang, he won't let me put him down. And you're holding him. Guess what you're learning? It's not about you. It's not about you. Guess what you learn at your job? It's not about you. And most of us learn it. But then we get saved. And our spiritual side comes out again. And now we're babies. And we don't want to do anything that isn't pleasing to us. So we come to God and we forget, and we need to be reminded, and you got to understand this is the goal. You got to serve God like it's not about you. When we come in here, we ain't always going to sing your favorite song. Amen? Amen? But it's not about you. It's about God. Amen? It's about what the praise team can do. It's about what they know. It's about what the leaders in the house say is what we might need to do or what might we need to declare. And so we have to learn it's not about me. So then you join the usher squad. I don't know why I keep talking about the ushers. Maybe you got some problems with the ushers. I don't know. You get on the usher squad and they say, hey, we need it done this way. But I don't want to do it that way. That way is harder. Well, guess what? It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about how the head usher understands the system of what he's been told or what he knows to do the job. Amen? Amen. So then you join this department or that department. Please just know this. It's not about you. And when you resign yourself to that value, guess what? That's called growing up. That's called maturity. Since we've started this church and we take missions trips, if you've been on a missions trip with us before, you've heard us tell you that. Get ready because this missions trip is not about you. You're going to be in places that are uncomfortable. You're going to do things that are uncomfortable, but always remember, it's not about you. What would happen if we could teach you guys, if we could teach you that in life, it's not about you? What would happen if you would take on this mentality? You know what would happen? People would love you. People would want to be your friend. People would want to date you. Oh, I got someone's attention right there. And you know what else? That mentality gets God's attention. Because he then begins to look and go, wow, little Jesse's growing up. In the spirit, he's little. He was little. He was little in the spirit. He's a baby in the spirit. Remember when he got born again? He begins to notice, wow, Jesse doesn't have a problem listening to little old Jessica over here, who's about half his size, as he was serving under that in that department. He's learning, hey, this ain't about him. He'll do whatever he's asked to do. Wow, God gets God's attention. And God begins to notice maturity. And what happens when there's maturity? God can pour out the inheritance. See, you think somebody's keeping you from your blessing. Oh, when am I going to be noticed? When are they going to call my number? You know who's going to call your number? God, when you grow up. When you mature. When you learn, it's not about me. Tell your neighbor, it's not about me. Your marriage is going to get better when you learn that. So real quick, I got 5 minutes. Let me give you characteristics of a mature child of God. Are you ready? Yes. One person's ready. Are you ready?
Yes.
There we go. All right, characteristics of a mature child of God. Number one, a child of God that's mature is submitted under authority. Submitted under authority. Where do we get this? Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I do nothing unless the Father tells me. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus is not on the earth, but the Bible tells us this, that God the Father moves through the authority that is in the earth. So who is the authority that God places you under? Your boss at your work. Yeah, pastor, he ain't even saved. No, but he's the authority. In a marriage, the authority rests on the husband. Calls him the head of the house, the head of the home. But at the same time, the husband also has to submit to his wife. The Bible says submit one to another. I don't do whatever I want. I got to run it through Tina, run it by Tina sometimes. Look at me, sometimes, all the time. All the time. I don't do nothing without checking with her. And if you're married, you shouldn't either. Well, you know, I'm a man. No, you ain't. You're a boy. Because if you were mature, you would understand you need to be submitted under authority. Real men don't have a problem submitting to their wives. And real women don't have a problem submitting to their husbands. Well, can I get an amen on that one? I said real women who are mature don't have a problem submitting to their husbands. I felt something in the room. Mature people understand, hey, somebody's got to be in charge. I'll never forget that. That was a quote I got from my oldest son over here, Eddie Cobb. He got saved from a street life. Somebody asked him, why you listen to him? His answer was this, somebody's got to be in charge. And he's in charge. I said, that'll preach. Because some of us have not yet learned, somebody's got to be in charge. Your boss ain't better than you, but he's got to be in charge. Yeah. Fall in, submit. Amen? Yeah. So that's the first characteristic. You got to be submitted under authority. The Bible goes on to say this, without authority, you have no authority. It's always amazing to me, people that want to launch ministries and do things, and they don't even have a pastor. Just doing stuff on their own, just out there. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Because if you're mature, you'd understand this is not about me, and people that are over me are sent as a gift from God to help me. Amen. Not control me, empower me, strengthen me, support me, keep me on the right path. That's what a pastor does. That's what a leader does. And if you don't have people in your life that you would say, I'm submitted to this person, you're not mature. And maturity ain't ever coming until you could learn. Everybody's got to submit to somebody. I have a pastor I'm submitted to. Heck, I got friends I'm submitted to. We don't do things in this church unless I run it by two or three of my friends that I'm submitted to. I already told you, my wife and I submitted to each other, submitted to Pastor Charles. And I don't approach those relationships like, I'm afraid of what they're going to say. No, because I've learned and I'm mature. It's not about me. Help me do the right thing. Help me make mature decisions. Amen? You've got to practice being under authority. And you know how you practice that? If you're in a department at church, find out who the leader is and serve them hard. Go all out. What could I do for you? You need any help in this department? I'm on the host team. Hey, Chris, what can I do? Can I help you? I'm in the ushers team. I'm in the children's. Hey, where can I step in and help? Serve hard. Come under authority. If you've got a husband, look at him different. Quit looking at him like he's a fool. Quit looking at him like he don't put the glass away after dinner. You're mad at him. Start looking at him as God's called me to submit to him. Yep. And wives, and husbands, get rid of this old school, old world mentality that you can't listen to a woman. You better listen to a woman. A woman will save your life if you listen to her.
That's right.
Can I get an amen on that one? At least from the ladies. Come on, ladies. We still got men living in the 1800s. I'm a man. I don't listen to it. Get over yourself. Listen, as awesome as Adam was, he gave him Eve. And somebody said, but look what Eve did. Don't get me started on that. Amen. All right, number two. Characteristics of a mature child of God is he serves others. He or she serves others. Got to ask the question today, folks. You can answer me. Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Are you a son of God?
Yes.
Don't answer this one, but think about it. Who do you serve? Man, if you're a part of this house, guys, serve somewhere. Listen, we have one thing. We if you're in a department, our goal is to only have you serve one Sunday a month. And we've got some people that still don't give God service on one Sunday a month. I implored some of you. Thanks so many of you. Thank you for responding. I asked for children's workers, and we've got some more nursery and children's workers. Thank you for responding to that. Because what was happening is some of our precious girls and guys were having to serve 2 weeks a month instead of just the one. And why was that happening? Because some people weren't mature enough to go, I need to serve. So if you want to mature, this is a good word for you. You got to serve others. Amen? Tell your neighbor, serve others. Serve. It's what we do. That's how we get down. You're a Christian, you serve. A cat meows, a dog barks, a fish swims, a Christian serves. If you don't serve, maybe you ain't a Christian. I'm just going to let that marinate like some El Pastor there with the pineapple on top just drizzling down on you. Number three, a characteristic of a mature child of God, he is generous. He's generous. If I took up an offering right now and said, guys, we need some more help for the building, they would give. Even if it was their lunch money for today. Baby, we're going to go home and make sandwiches because I gave in that offering. That's what we do, is how we get down. Amen? That's maturity. If you want to mature, you got to give. You got to give. You got to start giving. Not just in church, but in your relationships. Give. Give, give, give. Well, I'm the only one giving. You're the only mature one in the relationship. Tells you something. If you're in a relationship, you're the only one giving, you're the only mature one. Get out of that relationship. But generosity is a sign of a mature child of God. Amen? Number four. Characteristic of a mature child of God, they endure suffering and sacrifice. They endure suffering and sacrifice. Look up here. Let me have your eyeballs for just a moment. I want to get real with you today. My wife and I have been praying for this entire church every day. We talk to so many of us in this room, and we're all going through it in some way or another. So many of you guys that I've talked to, dealing with family issues, dealing with financial issues, dealing with relationship issues, loneliness. Some of you are in transitions with jobs, trying to have babies, trying to get houses. Our hearts ache for you, and we're praying for you. But the thing that we're praying for you is this, that in the trying time, you do what you've been taught to do, which is cry out to the Lord. That's what a mature person does. You want to know what an immature person does? They push away all reason. They push away all the word. They push away everything that God says to do, and they're just going to be mad. Things ain't working out, and I'm mad. I'm going out. I'm going to smoke some weed. I'm going to call my old homies. I'm going to do this. I'm just going to be mad. You know what? Can I just tell you? Don't do that. Don't take a step back. Because there's suffering. There's something that suffering can teach you. It can teach you how to rely on God and grow. And you know something? We all have to suffer through something. We all have to suffer through something. Suffering many times can grow you up the fastest. You know, when I got saved, I became a pastor within 9 months. 9 months I was preaching. 9 months I was going church to church, preaching at youth events, doing all this stuff. 9 months. Now, I'm not saying that to brag on me because it was nothing about me. But you know what? Why that process sped up? It sped up because of obedience. And it sped up because I wasn't afraid to suffer for the cause of Christ. Part of that suffering as a 19-year-old person was I wasn't going to date anybody. Part of that suffering, God asked me to lay down secular music. And God asked me to stop watching TV. And I did everything, and it was hard. But that suffering grew me up. Some of you guys, God has asked you to do stuff and you keep saying no because you don't want to suffer. You don't want to go through a hard sacrifice. But can I just tell you, the faster you learn that suffering is your friend and sacrifice is the gateway to greater blessing, you'll mature. And what happens when you mature? You inherit the promises. So I know I'm talking to people in here today as some of us are suffering. We're in a tough season. Heck, y'all don't, I don't waste your ears on letting you know what my wife and I have been suffering through over the past year and a half. I know you guys, I get your texts sometimes, Pastor, we're praying for you. I appreciate that. But I'm not gonna get up in here on a Sunday and cry to you. We all have our issues. We all have the things we're going through. This building project has been one of the hardest things we've ever had to endure. But you know what's happening in it, even for my wife and I? We're enduring suffering and sacrifice, and we're maturing even to another level. You watch what's gonna happen. And can I just speak into you today? You watch what's gonna happen as you spend lonely night singles alone. You see all your friends going out. You see all your friends dating, getting married, and you are enduring a season. Guess what's gonna happen? You're maturing. Don't get off that track. Stay where God has you. Continue to serve Him. Continue to learn how to go through those seasons. I don't know where you're at in your marriage. Maybe you've thought about quitting. I don't know what it is that God's trying to get you to sacrifice or lay down, but whatever it is, do it. Because what comes with that is maturity.
Hey everybody, Pastor Sergio here, and we just want to thank you for tuning in to our podcast. Make sure you check us out next week as we continue this series.